morning, church. Our Bible reading today will be from Genesis chapter 8, from verse 20 to the end, and Genesis 9 from verse 1 to 17. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord and took some of every clean animal and some of every clean bird and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And when the Lord smelt the pleasant aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man, for the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I ever again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night, shall not cease. Chapter 9. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every bird of the heavens, upon everything that creeps on the ground and on all the fish of the sea. In your hand they are delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. And as I gave you the green plants, I give you everything. But you shall not eat flesh with its life, that is, its blood. And for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever shed the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. And you, be fruitful and multiply. Increase greatly on the earth and multiply in it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offspring after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you. As many as come out of the ark, it is for every beast of the earth. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. And never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all generations. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And I will bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds. I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh. And the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is seen in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth. God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
I just want to say that our AV team do a great job, and I do want to apologise for the technological issues we've had this morning. The devil does not like the gospel to be preached and Jesus to be worshipped, and he gets in the way in practical ways to stop us from doing that. But we are in Genesis chapter 9 this morning. Last week we looked at the flood. and the flood wiped the world clean. And now there's a fresh start. When Noah and the animals left the ark, they left it to a new world. Noah is the head of a new human race. He is a second Adam. And just as God made a covenant with Adam when God made him in the beginning, so God makes a new covenant here in this passage with Noah. Now, what's a covenant? A covenant is a relationship that is based on promises. It's a bit like a contract or a marriage, a relationship that is based on promises. And God appoints a rainbow to be a sign of that covenant. That's what he says in verse 13. I have set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. And when you see the sign, you're meant to remember the covenant, the promise. The sign is a confirmation of the promise. It was a confirmation to Noah of the promise that God made, of the covenant that God made. But it's also a sign and a promise to us as well. You see, the sign reminds us that God will remember his promise and will keep his promise and will be faithful to his promise. And so the rainbow is a sign of hope. The rainbow is a sign of peace. The rainbow is a sign of God's love. The rainbow is meant to give us confidence and assurance for our lives. It's meant to bring joy into our lives. Let me ask, have you come this morning feeling hopeless? Do you want a fresh start? Do you want a second chance? Do you want some assurance and confidence for your life? If you do, then look with me this morning at the rainbow. Because the rainbow tells us about God's covenant. It tells us about the extent of the covenant, who it's for. It tells us about the nature of the covenant, what it is. And it tells us about the beauty of the covenant, just how lovely God's covenant relationship with you is. So let's look at those three things: the extent of the covenant, the nature of the covenant, and the beauty of the covenant. First of all, the extent of the covenant. The first thing to notice about any rainbow, whenever you see it in the sky, is it's not a spotlight. It's not a spotlight on one particular place. It extends across the earth. And so God's promise is a broad, extensive promise. First of all, it's a promise to the earth. God loves the world that he has made. After the flood, God didn't just pick up the world like a piece of rubbish and throw it in the bin. God loves the world that he's made. He cares for the world that he has made. And the rainbow is a sign of that. And that means negatively that God will never again send a global flood. Five times we read that in this passage. Never again will I flood the world. Never again will I flood the world. Never again will I flood this world. But positively, it means that God will sustain this world and will save this world. He will sustain it. As long as the earth remains, there will be autumn and spring. There will be seed time and harvest. He will sustain the world and he will save the world. And the world needs saving. It doesn't need saving from itself, but it needs saving from us. It needs saving from human sin. You see, the reason the world's in a messed up, the reason there's a curse on the world is because of our sin. God put a curse on the world because Adam and Eve turned their back on God. And so the world doesn't work properly. The earth doesn't work properly. It needs stewards to manage it and to look after it and help the world be what it's supposed to be. And that's what we're meant to do. We're meant to order the world. Back in Genesis 1, God gave Adam a clear command connected to the covenant he gave to him. Go forth and multiply. And now here again, he gives the same command in verse 1 to Noah. Go forth and multiply. Before the flood, violence filled the earth. Now he wants people and animals to fill the earth once again. He wants the world to flourish. He wants the world to be sustained, to be saved. And one day it's going to even be renewed. See, the birds that God makes sing his praise when they chirp in the morning. The sun and the moon and the trees and the plants. This world praises its maker. But one day we are told that the hills will break out into singing. The trees of the fields will clap their hands with joy when God renews this world and removes the curse from it once and for all. The promise is for the earth, but the promise is also for every single person on the earth. Now you can imagine immediately after the flood that the first time Adam and his family saw a cloud or felt a drop of rain, they would live in fear that God would send another global flood. But the rainbow reminds us that he will not do that because he cares for human beings. He cares for every human being. He promises not to destroy the world again. That's why verses 5 and 6 are here. God says, for your lifeblood, I will require a reckoning. From every beast, I will require it, and from man. From his fellow man, I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For God made man in his own image. See, those verses tell us what God thinks of human beings, what God thinks of our lives. See, God's attitude to human life is that human life is valuable and precious to him. Every human being has a dignity and a value and a worth in the sight of God. And they do so because we're made in the image of God. It doesn't matter who you are or what you're like or what you've done, you are made in the image of God and you are valuable to him. And therefore, it's a big deal if someone kills a human being. If an animal kills a human being, God will require a reckoning of them. If a dog kills a child, that dog should be put down. But if a human being kills another human being, then God will require a reckoning of them as well. You see, if you kill a human being, then you forfeit your right to life. Because every human being is made in the image of God. And so if you assault a human being, you're assaulting the image of God. It's an assault on God himself. You see, these verses insist on the death penalty for murder. Now, how a community implements the death penalty is something which is debatable. But what is not debatable here is that every human life is valuable and precious in the sight of God. Whether you're rich or poor, whether you're good or bad, whether you're attractive or unattractive, you know, whether you are strong or weak, whether you're unborn or terminally ill. You know, just because a person is terminally ill and lacks capacity and is in pain doesn't mean that their life is useless and not worth living. Do you know, a society is sick, really sick, when it keeps alive those who forfeit their right to life and kills those who are vulnerable and need palliative care. See, God's promise is for this, every person in the world, because every person in the world is made in the image of God and is precious in the sight of God. But third, this promise is for you. See, God promises When you see the rainbow, you're supposed to see that God's promise is for you, that God loves you specifically. Yes, he loves every person in the world. Yes, he loves this earth that he has made, but he loves you as well. And so when you see the rainbow, you're to see God's great love. Even though you mess up. Even though you don't live as you should, and you know that. You're to look at the rainbow, and it's meant to remind you that God remembers his promise. Every time you look at the rainbow, you're to see God's covenant, God's great love, God's promise to you and to me. You see, God is kind and generous. God loves the world that he has made. God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And that isn't just a general love, but a specific love. God loves you. You know, one of the things that struck me most when I became a Christian was that God wanted a relationship with me. I don't want a relationship with me some of the time. But God does. Because that is how great his love is for me. And the same is true for you. See, that's the first thing that the rainbow teaches us. It teaches us the extent of God's love, but it also teaches us the nature of God's love and God's promise, God's great covenant. You see, who put the rainbow in the sky? Well, the rainbow is put there by God. I have set my bow in the clouds, God says. The rainbow was appointed by him to be the sign of the covenant. And that means that this covenant is a covenant of grace. It's something that God gives as a gift. We know the difference between a gift and something that you earn. You know, if you give a birthday present to somebody, it's a gift to them. If you receive a wage or a salary, that's not a gift from your employer. You've earned it. This covenant was a gift to Noah. He didn't earn it because he was good. You know, Noah was the best of men, but he was a man at best. And even the best of men don't earn God's favor and goodness. Noah received this as a gift through faith. And so God's covenant is a covenant based upon promise. It's a covenant of grace. Three times he says in verse 9 and verse 11 and verse 17, I establish my covenant. I do this. I promise to bless you. I promise to do you good. I will do this. Do you know one of the greatest differences in life is the difference between promise and law? You see, the law says, you shall not do this. The promise of God says, I will do this for you. See, there's all the difference in the world between what God says in his promise and what the law requires of us to do. God says, I will do this for you. The law says, you shall not do this. God says, my covenant is not based on the law and what is required of you. My covenant is based upon promise. It's based upon what I will do. And God is faithful to his promises. God will keep his promises. If God has said he'll do something, he will do it. We see this with the global flood. The global flood happened thousands of years ago. We've never had a global flood since. We've had some awful localized floods like we've seen in Spain, and they're awful. But God has been faithful to his promises and will continue to be faithful to his promises. And because it's a covenant of grace, it means that it doesn't depend on you. You see, one of the amazing things here about the sign of the rainbow is who the sign is for. The sign of the rainbow is first of all not a sign for us, but for God. You see, when we see the sign of the rainbow, it reminds us that the rainbow is a sign for God to remember his promise. You see, the remembrance of the covenant is, the rainbow is a reminder to God to remember his covenant, to remember his promise to you and me. This is the way the signs always work in the Bible. You might remember the Exodus from Egypt, and the Israelites were told by God to kill a lamb the night before they left and to put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel of the doors. When the angel of death came through the land of Egypt that night to kill the firstborn of the sons of every household, he would look at the blood and pass over the house, and the inhabitants would be saved. God would see the sign, remember his promise, and the result will be life. And that's true with every sign. That is true with the gospel. That is true with Jesus Christ. You see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, what was happening? Well, God looked at Jesus Christ dying on the cross in our place. He sees what he has done, and he forgives us. Jesus is killed on our behalf, and we get life in return. You know, we sing about this in some of our songs. Before the throne of God above, I have a stronger, perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. He's standing at the right-hand side of God, is Jesus Christ, pleading on our behalf. And because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me. See, Jesus Christ is standing in heaven now as our great high priest. God looks at him and remembers his sacrifice on our behalf and forgives us. You see, when you look at Jesus Christ, looking at Jesus Christ should bring you joy and peace. When God looks at Jesus Christ, it brings you salvation and forgiveness. Because God will not look at Jesus Christ, he cannot look at Jesus Christ and be angry with you. When God looks at Jesus Christ, it's impossible for him to be angry with you for your sins, because Jesus Christ paid for your sins. And so God looks at him and what he's done and smiles at you. He looks at him and remembers his promise to bless you and to do you good. And this covenant, because it's based upon God's promise, is a covenant which will last forever. He says that in verse 12, it will last for all generations. Or verse 16, it will be for everlasting. That means that God's promise to you is for today. It's for tomorrow. It's for when you're middle-aged. It's for when you're old. It's for when you're terminally ill. It's for you once you've been raised from the dead. It's for you eternally. There's not a time when this promise won't be yours. Time can't change it. You know, if you could get into a time machine, imagine you could get into a time machine and go all the way through history, the history of your life, the history of the world. Could you ever get to a point where God's promise wasn't true? Where he didn't keep it? You couldn't. Or if you got into a time machine and went into the future, is there ever a time when God's promise will fail towards you? There won't be. It's impossible. You know, if you are a Christian, then your salvation is sure. It's certain. It's never in jeopardy. Because God's promise is never in jeopardy. God will keep his promises. He has to because he's God. He's faithful to what he says. And nothing can ever obstruct it. There's no person who can stand in the way of it. There's no, the devil can't stop it. It can damage and affect our AV on a Sunday morning, but he can't do anything with the promises of God. And even your sin cannot obstruct the promises of God. His will and his power is greater than your sin. See, Jesus Christ has said this. He said, my sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they will follow me. And they will never perish, neither can anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one shall snatch them out of his hand. If you are a Christian, you are safe and secure in the hand of God, because God's promise, God's covenant promise to you, is sure and certain. Let me ask, do you know that hope this morning? Can you sing, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness? No merit of my own I claim, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Well, how can you do that? How can you say that? How can you sing that? How do you get that hope in your life? By seeing one more thing about the covenant. Not only the extent of it, it's for the earth, it's for every person, it's for you. Not just the nature of it, it's a covenant based on God's grace, because it's based on his promise. It's not based on what you do. But you need to see a third thing. You need to see the beauty of this covenant. And you see the beauty of the covenant when you look at a rainbow. Because one thing that all of us know is that rainbows are beautiful. God has set his bow in the cloud. And when you look at a rainbow, when you see the beauty of the rainbow, you're to see the beauty of this relationship with God. The rainbow tells us all about it. You see the beauty of that relationship in just the colors of the rainbow. You know, God has set his bow in the cloud. It's against a backdrop of a dark cloud that you see the beauty of the rainbow. You see those wonderful colors when you look at it next to a dark cloud. You never see a rainbow on a sunny day. It's in the darkness that you see the beauty. You know, when you see the darkness of your own sin, when your conscience pricks you with the guilt and the shame of things you've done, when you're in trouble in your life and in distress and feeling low and not knowing the way forward, it's then that you see the rainbow of God's grace. You know, if you say, no, I'm all right, Jack. My life is completely fine. There's no clouds in my life whatsoever. No sin clouds, no trouble clouds. My life is completely fine. If that's true, you won't see the rainbow of God's grace. You see it against the backdrop of dark clouds, of difficulties, of troubles, of sin. But when you see that, you have to remember the rainbow. You to remember that there's grace for you in the midst of the darkness. There's grace for you in the midst of the trouble. God wants to bless you and do you good. In fact, he's promised to do that. That's what the rainbow shows us. You know, hasn't this been your experience as a Christian? That it's when you see your sin most that you most see the love and the forgiveness of God? That it's when you're in trouble that you feel the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding. That it's when you get that diagnosis, or when things are difficult at work, or You're at the bedside of a loved one that you know God's love in a way you've not known it before. You see, it's against the darkness of the cloud that you see the brightness of the colours of the rainbow of God's love. But it's not just the colours of the rainbow that show us its beauty, it's the shape of the rainbow. You know, what is the rainbow? Well, it's a bow. Someone say, no, it's just light refracted through rain. Well, it is. But it appears to us as a bow. It's actually a rain circle, but we only see it from the ground as a bow. That word bow is used 77 times in the Bible, and each time it's used for a war bow. You see, God says that when you see the rainbow, you're meant to see God's war bow. And that war bow is hung in the clouds. Now, when does a warrior hang up their bow and their arrows? It's when they've stopped fighting, when the battle's over. And so when you see the rainbow in the clouds, you're to see that God's war is over. The battle's done. The fight has finished. God says, I am hanging my bow in the clouds. War is over. You see, God is proclaiming peace to us and peace to this world. God's anger towards our sin is finished. God is a God of fresh starts. He's a God of second chances. He's a God who wants us to know and to experience and to live in light of his peace. You see, God knew that this world would be messed up with wars and oppression and violence and murder. That's why he gives these commands about what should happen to those who kill others. He knows what this world is like. But when he hangs up his bow in the clouds, he's saying, even though you mess up, even though you don't live as you should, even though you deserve my judgment and anger, there is now no condemnation for you. There is no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Even though you've sinned, I will forgive your sin. I will forgive your sin and remember them no more. So the question is, how can God do that? How can God hang his bow up in the sky when our lives are as messed up as they are? And that's the third thing we see from this about the beauty of the rainbow, and that is the direction of it. See, God has hung his bow up in the sky, and it's pointing upwards. You know, if this bow was pointing downwards, then we would live in complete fear. Fear that God's anger was pointed towards you and me. But where is God's bow pointing? Where are his arrows pointing? They're pointing at himself, at his heart. You see, God is a God of justice who says that sin will be paid for. But God says, I will pay for your sin. In fact, I have sent my son to pay for your sin. My judgment will come down on my son. And because it's come down on my son, it will not come down on you. And it came down on him at the cross. See, when Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died in darkness. He experienced the darkness, the storm of darkness of God's judgment. So that you could have the rainbow of God's love and grace. You see, God's anger, God took it, the anger that should have been ours, into his own heart. So we could live in light of his peace and his love forever. And that's the final thing about the rainbow. You see, the rainbow is in the sky. And God wants us to live under that rainbow. Too many of us, I think, live under the cloud. We live under a cloud thinking that God is angry with us because we're not good enough. You know, we don't live up to our own standards. How on earth can we live up to God's standards? God must be angry with me all the time because I constantly mess up. I don't feel good enough. I don't feel like I match up. And we walk around with our heads bowed down under a cloud. But God wants you to live under the rainbow. God wants you to live knowing his love, knowing his grace, experiencing his peace. If you're a Christian here this morning, if you're not a Christian here this morning, then I want to invite you to come under that rainbow. To come out from living under the cloud, feeling that God is angry with you, and to put your trust in Jesus Christ. Because the moment you do, you can know and experience the rainbow of his love. And you can live under it. You can live free. And if you are a Christian here this morning, then live in light of the fact that you are under the rainbow. Live your life based on God's grace. Stop trying to earn your way to God. He's done it all. The rainbow's a sign of that. See the beauty of the rainbow. Live under it. And if you do that, you will live your life with joy. Even in the middle of a storm. We all experience storms in our lives. Well, if you're living under a storm this morning, you can still have joy. Because there's grace to be had for you. Because no matter what is happening to you in your circumstances, no matter what kind of storm you face in your life, God is smiling at you. And if you know the smile of God, you can have deep joy even in the midst of sorrow. Let's live our lives under the rainbow of God's grace. Let me pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, this is Advent Sunday, and Advent Sunday is all about remembering that joy has come to the world in the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, that rainbow is a sign of that, sign of your grace and love to us. Help us to live under that rainbow. Help us to live knowing that you really do love us. And that love is not based upon what we do, but on your grace. And that relationship that we have with you is so beautiful, so precious. Help us to live in light of it, we ask. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.